You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers edition. As always, joined by Adam McAlvey, Brewers beat writer. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing just excellent. Wanted to start off, our colleagues, Jonathan Mayo, Jim Callis, have done their big project of the offseason, ranking the top 100 prospects in baseball. Brewers homegrown Dominican shortstop Orlando Arcia, ranking 88, a guy that played last year at the Florida State League. What's your take on Arcia, Adam?
Well, you know, Phil, it's actually an area where the Brewers are pretty good. They have a number of shortstops young in their system, including at the big league level in Gene Segura, that they like. And Arcia may have the highest ceiling of all of them. He's probably big leaguer defensively, and the bat they think will be a line drive bat that can play in the major leagues. So he's a guy who, you know, internally they're really high on. And I think when you look at the fact that he's the only one in our MLB.com top 100, the only Brewer, it shows you that he'll probably leapfrog Tyrone Taylor, an outfielder, as the number one on our list as the new Brewers' number one prospect. So, you know, again, there's Gene Segura in the big leagues. He's a young player yet. Brewers' property for 5 more years. Hey, it's probably one of those problems to have, because the Brewers and other clubs are always for quality young shortstops.
Yeah, play at age 20 this year, and probably, you know, looking for a promotion to Double A. Too early to look at him as a guy that's pushing Segura. I mean, obviously not going to do it this year, but something Segura might have in the back of his mind coming off a disappointing 2014.
Well, yeah, and there's another player, Yadiel Rivera, who was added to the 40-man roster back in November to protect him from Rule 5. He's another guy who's major league ready defensively. And again, the bat, will it come around? That's the question. So it's competition. I think that's what they like to have, especially at a premium position like that. And it's a big year coming ahead, no doubt, for Gene Segura, who went through personal stuff and on-field stuff last season that was all well-documented. And he's been playing down in winter ball, working on some adjustments to his batting stance. He's always been a flat-footed guy. They want to get more of a get that front leg moving a little bit more, get a little more balance in his swing. And that's something that he's going to bring into spring training, and definitely a player to watch for this Brewers team moving forward. But it's not as if they've got the AAA studs that are really breathing down his neck. He's going to have a long leash, and I think the Brewers have shown with other players that they're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt in the major leagues. I'm thinking of Chris Davis, the left fielder early last season. You know, even way back, if you go to J.J. Hardy, a player who really, really struggled as a young guy, but Doug Melvin, and it was then as a manager. But a lot of the same baseball staff, they let him figure it out in the big leagues. I think they will take a similar Gene Segura, and he'll get an opportunity to get back on track. But again, we're talking about an area at shortstop where even if Arcia, Rivera, these guys don't play for the Brewers in the big leagues, it's good trade bait when you have some young shortstops that other teams might be interested in.
Hey, since last we did a podcast, the Brewers have really been making some moves with the bullpen, and the latest being adding Chris Perez, the old Indians closer who was with the Dodgers a year ago. What's Doug Melvin thinking with Chris Perez?
Well, they're thinking it's no risk in that he's on a minor league deal and that the velocity is there. His velocity was actually the highest with the Dodgers last year than it had been since 2010. That predates his two All-Star seasons with the Indians. And it's one of those, you know, you can't teach something like that. You just hope he's able to put it back together like he did in Cleveland. And he was eager. He met with a couple of Brewers officials, including Doug Melvin's son, Corey, who's a pro scout in the Tampa area where Perez lives. They met, and Perez basically convinced the Brewers that he was eager and confident. And gave him a shot on what amounts to a no-risk deal, because if it doesn't work out in spring training, he's out anything. Even if he doesn't make the team, it's a $1.5 million commitment, and that's not something that's going to break their back. I like it because they were looking for a guy who closed before. They still could be in the market for the likes of Jonathan Papelbon. K-Rod could always come back. Those guys are out there and available, but with Chris Perez, at least they have a little bit of coverage, a chance, take a chance on a guy who's done it before.
And they covered themselves with the trade last year for Jonathan Broxton, most importantly. So it's not like they're completely dealing from a void. And also, earlier this month, added Neil Cotts, who has really a really remarkable story in what he's battled health-wise. And a guy going back as far as the 2005 White Sox, who's shown when he's on, he can be one of the better left-handed relievers in the game.
Yeah, an interesting guy, Phil. You know this well from watching him all those years in Chicago. He's not your true situational lefty. He's actually career splits and last season, he's better against right-handed pitchers, which is odd, but it means he's the kind of guy who's not going to just come in for one batter. He's probably going to be a full-inning type guy. And the Brewers will pair him with Will Smith, who's pretty much dominating when he's on against left-handed hitters. He was exceptional until maybe the final 6 weeks or so of last season when he wore down, but really deadly with a slider against lefty. So they like the balance that they've got there. Now, the other guy they've got coming back is a right-hander, Brandon Kinsler, who's, because of his changeup and the way he pitches, tends to be really effective against lefties. Slowly but surely, I think they're putting together the makings of a decent pen. Again, I think they'll, I think they had one more, and those two I mentioned, Papelbon via trade possibility, and K-Rod still out there in free agency. I think if you add a player like that, now you sort of look at the list that Milwaukee's put together, and they look okay. A mix of established players, and then some younger guys like Smith and a right-hander Jeremy Jeffress with some potential for the future, and you start to think, all right, this bullpen looks like it's going to get by.
But you had been saying all offseason to keep an eye, even though they had been quiet at the start, keep an eye that the Brewers might have a big trade to make in them with one of their better starting pitchers, and they made that, sending Giovanni Gallardo to Texas, and I think they got back an interesting, I know it's hard to make everybody happy, but I think they got an interesting return for Gallardo. I mean, I can't tell you that I've scouted him, but I know guys like Duplan, young international signing, only 18 years old. Those are big arms, and maybe first-round picks if they were in the draft. And also, a guy that, to me, seems like he's pretty close to the big league, the Corey Knebel, former University of Texas pitcher. What's your take on those guys?
Yeah, well, the Sardinas, the infielder, again, I should have mentioned him when we're talking about shortstops in the Milwaukee system, and Knebel, who missed some time at the end of last season with an elbow injury. He didn't have Tommy John. He did not have Tommy John, so he's coming back. Says he feels like he's right on track going into spring training, and they're confident that he's going to be able to avoid that. Maybe each of those players doesn't make the opening day roster, but you could see either playing a role with the team at some point this season. And, obviously they like them both, because Giovanni was not a player that they were just going to give away. It had to be, yes, there was a financial savings for the team, $10 million all told, but they wanted players in return that the Brewers feel could contribute. It sets them up, Phil, as you know, to be really interesting next offseason, because not only will they theoretically have Knebel, Sardinas, more likely to be a part of the big league roster for 2016, but they have a lot of other free agents coming off the board after this coming season, and they could be a really intriguing club when you start getting into, David Price and the crop of free agents next winter. So I think all of those pieces put together was behind Doug Melvin making a trade, a tough trade for him, because Giovanni Gallardo had been a big part of this organization for a really long time. He was, one of the two or three players who was part of their coming of age, you know, a decade ago when they shook all those losing seasons and got to the point where we're talking about them as a team with a chance to do something in the division.
And Knable, you had an interesting piece. Why would he be a guy that might be a really good fit in Milwaukee?
Well, yeah, thanks to Ross Detweiler, who crossed paths last year late in the Texas organization, he took up home brewing. And it was one of his buddies on Twitter who announced to the world after the trade that, you know, hey, you're a brewer, and now you're a brewer. So he talked to me a little bit about it when he was in Milwaukee for the Fan Fest. And he said it's been a good way to get win the fans over before throwing a pitch. And he's also been contacted by a lot of craft brewers in Wisconsin who are interested to have him in for a visit on an off day and have him try their stuff. So there's no other way to win people over around here than say you like beer. And he did it in a very public way right at the start.
Well, this might be an infringement, but I would suggest that maybe they might want to think about the name of beer being Line and Knable. I think it'd be a foot in the door.
You better patent that, Phil, before it gets stolen, because that's I'm going to go ahead and make up some labels after we hang up the phone.
Absolutely. I think you can bring that up the next time you talk to Corey. Thank you very much, Adam. For Adam McKelvey, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Milwaukee Brewers Edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.